Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament lesson for this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself require it of him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our catechetical review for this morning is found in the inside of your bulletin. Please read with me. The Creed, the second article, redemption. "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true." The epistle for this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand as we sing the gospel of the Lord. Gospel for the fourth Sunday in Advent from St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said of him, "Who are you?" "We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to meet me over there at the Christmas tree. You guys can all have a seat. I want to work my way through and get behind you here. Hey, guys. Good to see you. Good morning. Great to see you all. Thanks for joining us here. We've been here for a couple of weeks now in the season of Advent. We've been talking about all of these symbols, all of these things that point us to Jesus. Do you remember this one? What is this? That's right. It looks like a PX. It's actually the Chi Rho. This is the C sound and the R sound. And we talk about Jesus coming to us. Jesus is known as the Christ. Christ. And that's what this points to. And this one right here, this is another one. Remember that? It's an alpha. That's right. That's the A. And the other one, do you remember that? The O, the Omega, the beginning of the alphabet and the end of the alphabet. Jesus is the beginning and the end, and he comes to us to save us. Well, today, we're going to use one more symbol. What's this? A what? I don't think it's a reindeer. If we take the cross off, what does it look like? Yep, when we look at this, we see a lamb. And today, in the gospel reading, there's this guy called John, and he's the one who baptized Jesus. And one day when John saw Jesus, he looked at Jesus and he said, look, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the whole world. Are you guys part of the world? Yeah, did Jesus come for you? He did, and he came to do something very great for us. What's he going to do for us? Okay, let's back up. Where's the story begin in our world? He is. But that starts in our world in just a little bit under a week. The end of this week, we're going to celebrate something really great. What is that? Jesus' birthday. He was born in our world, and was he a spirit? He was a baby boy that you could hold in your arms, and Mary had to feed him, and she even had to change his diaper. You see, Jesus was just like us, except there was one thing different about Jesus. Did Jesus have any sin at all? Did he ever sin at all? He was the perfect Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. That's right. He was born as a baby. He lived and he grew up. And then he would do his great work for us. He would go to the cross. He would be the perfect sacrifice for us. He would take all of our sin and he would give us his holiness. That's the great joy of Christmas. God keeps his promises. He sends us a... He sends us a lamb whose name was Jesus Christ. And a PX, right? The Chi Rho, which is Christ. Yeah, you want to hang it up? All right, while Sam's hanging that, should we pray? You pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to us. Thank you for being perfect and giving us your perfectness. taking our sin and giving us hope. In your name, amen. All right, thanks guys for coming up here today. And we continue with our next hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you that you have drawn us to yourself through the waters of baptism. Keep our identity in you clear, that in all we do, we may live in your grace and mercy and point to you. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1996, there was a new church plant. It was not an LCMS church. It was planted in Seattle. The church was called Mars Hill. And it didn't take very long before it gathered the attention of all people looking at church things. This church prided themselves on being a light in the darkness in one of the most unchurched cities in the United States. The church grew quickly. It gathered people. The church continued to be a model that other churches would follow. But unfortunately, as quickly as it grew, it also spun out of control and closed. As quickly as Mars Hill grew, they expanded staff, they expanded facilities. But yet in 2014, the church collapsed. The pastor resigned. The leadership left. The pastor and much of the leadership fell prey to the perils of power and success and pride. Since the end of Mars Hill, a lot of people have been combing over the wreckage in the leadership. They've been looking at the debris field of broken trust, broken relationships, and sometimes even broken faith to understand what happened. How did this huge church break down and disintegrate so quickly? Many conclude one of the chief factors was narcissism in the leadership, a complete inward focus that promotes self above anything else. Narcissism, honestly, is just a symptom. The misplacing of their baptismal identity for power and success was the root cause. The pastor and the leadership, they all lost their focus on what was most important. They lost the focus on who's doing the work of saving. They lost their focus that Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior that came into the world to die for us, for sinners, that we might live free and in His grace and mercy. Instead, the church began to promote the pastor. The church began to promote their presence in the community and all of the people that were gathering there in worship. The message of Christ and He alone crucified for us for our forgiveness was lost. It was hidden. It was distorted, and it was overcome by egos and kingdom building. The story of Mars Hill is a painful reminder of what happens when our identity is not in Christ alone. Instead, when it turns to me, when it turns to myself, when it turns to what I can make myself, or worse yet, when our identity becomes something that society pushes upon us, we lose Christ and that hope and promise that we have, that He has forgiven us. If someone would say to you, "Tell me about yourself," how would you start out? Most of the time, we start out with something that identifies us and gives us value. Well, I'm a carpenter. I'm an administrative assistant. I'm the head of the football team or head of the cheerleading squad. I'm the captain of the football team. We identify ourselves by what we think gives us value or by what other people might find value in. We really like to identify ourselves by our occupation. In the United States, do you know the group that has the largest suicide rate? It's not teenagers. It's single men over the age of 65. They find their value in their work, their purpose in their work. And when they retire and they are no longer identified by what they do, they find themselves lost. They struggle with depression caused by retirement. When the identity of what they did is gone, they feel hollow and incomplete because their identity is wrapped up in what they do. The same trap can happen to the church. If our identity is wrapped up in how fast we're growing, if it's our identity is wrapped up in how many people are coming to church, then it won't take long and our identity will betray us. It won't take long and our identity will be driven by our pride and our ego and our human ambition. If our identity as a church is in the slick online presence that we have, or how cool our pastors are, which you don't have to worry about, by the way. If our identity is in the programs we have, or how well we feed the community, or our youth group, when one of those dynamics change, the church will be in a tailspin. Because it's lost its identity. It's lost its focus, and its identity was never Christ at the center for you for the forgiveness of sins. When our baptismal identity as a sinner who is totally and completely forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross is misplaced, often our identity is replaced by our sin. Today I identify as a man or a woman or both. Please refer to me with the pronouns they or them. I'm LGBTQ. I'm an atheist. And suddenly our identity is driven by the very things that will separate us from the gifts of God and from His eternal hope and forgiveness. John the Baptist didn't have any problem at all with identity. He confessed clearly, "I am not the Christ." When the Pharisees came asking him, "Who are you?" it would have been real easy for John to ride on the coattails of Jesus. "I'm his cousin. I'm the forerunner." But John didn't do that. John knew who he was. He was not even worthy to do the job of the lowest slave in the house, which was to take the shoes off the guest. John knew who he was, and he knew who Jesus was. The Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. Look, Jesus is the Son of God. He confessed, and he did not deny, but he confessed completely when they asked him, "I am not the Christ." John says, "I'm not the Christ," clearly, and he points to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John wants those who question him and his identity to see Jesus as their Savior and their Lord and their hope and their promise. When John is asked if he's Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, who is to come before the Messiah comes, John says, "I am not Elijah." He didn't take any credit. He didn't try to draw any power from the Old Testament powerful prophet. When John was asked if he was the prophet that is to come, a reference back to someone who would come that would be greater and more powerful than Moses, John's answer was the same. "I am not." John simply said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." You see, John was clear. He knew who he was. He was a sinner, but he lived in the grace and the promise of God sending a Messiah in the world. And when he was in the womb of his mother and was standing there in the presence, or being carried there in the presence of his mother, John jumped in the womb in front of Jesus. John knew who he was. He was simply one doing this. Pointing to Jesus, pointing to the hope, pointing to the Messiah that would come into the world to forgive us all of our sins. John knew who he was. He was the law, pointing people to repent so that they could clearly see the hope of Jesus coming into the world for them. Because John lived in his redeemed, forgiven identity so well, he was not seeking prominence. He was not looking for accolades. His value and identity was not in what he did. It was in what Christ had done for him. John wanted everyone, all of us, to see Jesus, to know his love and his mercy, to know the great lengths that Jesus would go to so that you, dear children of God, would live in forgiveness and peace. John wanted us to know that this Christ that he pointed to was the same promise that God made in the Garden of Eden, that he would send one that would crush Satan's head. John pointed clearly to Jesus, his hope and our hope. Sin and death would be atoned for completely by the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. John lived confidently in his redeemed and forgiven identity as a child of God. He confessed clearly, "I am not the Christ." And so have we, by the way. Because of our baptismal identity that faithed us and connected us to the one John points to, we are bold to confess, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities." You see, like John, we have confessed that we are not the Christ, that we are broken by sin. But we look and find our hope in the one that John pointed to. The very words that were given to us, that we are forgiven because of Christ. You see, our identity is not in who we are. It is not in what we do. It is not in our sin. It's in our Savior, who gives us the hope that by his death and resurrection, we are forgiven all of our sins. Everything that's rooted in Christ and finds its identity in Christ alone will point back to him. This wonderful sanctuary that we are so privileged to worship in confesses Christ. When you stand at the back and you walk toward the sanctuary, the very first thing you see is the cross. It boldly fills the room. It demands our attention, and it confesses, we preach Christ crucified for us, for the forgiveness of sins. As we gather here in this place, the cross is above the altar, so that the gifts from the cross flow through his altar out to us. His word preached to us today that reminds us of our baptismal identity, that we are Christ's and we are covered by his blood on the cross and we are forgiven. As we walk this morning to the altar rail to receive the Lord's Supper, we walk by the baptismal font. We are reminded that right there, Christ faithed us through the Holy Spirit, gave you faith to believe, connected you to the cross of Christ, gave you an identity not as the Christ, but as one that the Christ loved and died for and forgave. When we gather around this semicircle communion rail, it confesses that as we gather here, all of those who have gone before us, angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, gather at the other side of this circle in heaven, seeing the Lamb on the throne as we receive the very body and blood of Christ in our mouths and in our bodies. Today's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the fourth Sunday of Advent confesses that Jesus is Christ as well. It's the last Sunday before we celebrate the Nativity, the Incarnation, God taking on human flesh and blood and dwelling among us. The season of Advent confesses clearly, your King, your Savior, your Messiah comes to you. Not to destroy you, not to punish you, not to make life miserable and give you lots of laws to follow, but to fulfill the law, to give you peace and forgiveness, to be your hope and your promise. You see, everything that's rooted in Christ confesses Christ, just like John, and just like we do living in our baptismal identity. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.